The Australian Racing Hall of Fame, a new group of inductees have been announced, and our one and only guest before our 9:30 preview is joining us, Neville Begg. Congratulations, Neville, on the achievement of being inducted.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you very much.
It obviously came as a bit of a surprise.
Oh, Andrew, it was the last thing I was expecting, and I'm very appreciative of the selectors to even consider me.
When people think of Neville Begg, they think of Emancipation or Hong Kong, because you were a bit of a trailblazer to Hong Kong. You were one of the first, weren't you?
Yes, Andrew. I was fortunate enough to be selected to go there, and we enjoyed every minute of it. I was only there for 6 years, but I was lucky enough to train one of the international races while I was there.
Was that Winning Partners?
Winning Partners won the International Bowl.
And where did he come from, Nev?
Oh, actually, Graham trained him.
Graham did, okay.
Yeah, Graham trained him, and yeah, he won a maiden at Gosford.
Yeah.
And I'd purchased him just prior to that to go to Hong Kong.
Okay.
And fortunately, he turned into a quite a good class galloper.
He did. He won the Hong Kong Invitational Bowl. You must have... So, am I saying early 90s?
Yes, that's correct. I went to Hong Kong in 1990, early 1990s. And finished just before the handover to China. But not just... because of that, they had a retiring age at that stage. And when I reached retiring age, I had to come home.
Okay. But, gee, you must have seen such a dramatic change in Hong Kong racing.
Oh, it's gone from strength to strength. The class of horses improved dramatically. They used to race class 7 horses when I went there, and they gradually cut down the classes, class 7, class 6, class 5 is the lowest class now.
Mm.
And, you know, they're good horses to win anywhere in the world.
Yeah, for sure. Neville, I've got to ask you, where did it begin? Where did your interest in racing begin?
Oh, look, I come from a racing family. I come from Newcastle. My grandfather was a trainer. I had two uncles that were jockeys, very successful jockeys, and I'd always been interested. I worked for the leading trainer in Newcastle, a gentleman called Mr. Cashman, Ray Cashman.
Yeah.
When I was going to school, I was riding work when I was going to school, and then I always had plans of coming to Sydney, and as soon as I left school, I came to Sydney and went to work for Mr. Maurice McCartan.
Yeah, which is famous, which we'll get to in a moment. You wanted to be a jockey, Nev?
I was an apprentice jockey. I had a few rides in races, not too many, about 10 rides, and then I... gained weight, and I had to give it away, and I just stayed on with Mr. McCartan, and eventually become a breaker in. I was breaking all the yearlings for him, and become a foreman later on when our foreman went away to America, and then a chap called Bill Jarvis, he became a trainer himself, and so I stayed on until I started up training myself.
Well, the big one with Maurice McCartan, you mentioned breaking him, would have been Todman back in the late 50s. Take us back to that time, Neville, and breaking in a horse like him.
Todman, yes, I was handling him all the time when he was a yearling, and he was a very, very powerful horse, you know. He'd buck, he'd drop you quite easily if you weren't careful, and... I rode him work right up to the time he was normally ready to race. And I also broke in his full brother, No Home, which was a very, very good racehorse also.
Did you know at that time, you mentioned that he had his own little ways, did you feel that he had the quality that we saw?
Oh, look, he always showed a lot of strength in that, in his character. He's a very, very powerful little horse, and... we had great ideas that he could gallop. Well, not that we ever galloped him as a yearling, you know, but he always strode along very, very well. And the first inkling we got, he went to the barriers one morning and had a jump out, and he and another little black horse cleared out and beat the other by many, many lengths. And the other one was a little horse called Gold Stakes, trained by Jack Green, who won a Newmark.
Yeah.
They were pretty good. Two pretty smart horses, both by Star Kingdom.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You must reflect on those memories, Nev, and think, gee, wasn't it great to be around racing at that time?
Well, they were outstanding horses, you know, and Mr. McCartan always had a good horse in the stable. Mostly we had some great horses, Winona Girl, obviously Todman, and, you know, a horse called Prince Corthall, who was a very good racehorse, Delta, who won the Melbourne Cup and Box Plate. You know, we always had a good horse in the stable.
Did you have much to do with Delta and Neville?
Oh, look, no, not myself. I used to ride him at work occasionally, yeah. But I was there all the time he was there. Of course, he won a cup in 51. He'd started out, he was beaten in the AJC Derby by Tommy Smith's first big winner, Playboy, and then he went to Melbourne and won the Cox Plate as a three-year-old, won the VRC Derby, run fifth in the Melbourne Cup as a three-year-old, and then he continued on winning, you know, until 1951 he won the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, remarkable horse. And they seem to be, were they tougher than Neville?
Oh, I think they stood up to much more racing, you know, than the horses do these days, you know.
Yeah.
They seem to not have that many starts, and they're all a stud now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. If they win well and they're a colt, they're off to stud for sure. I want to bring in 1980, if we can. You had two in the Golden Slipper, and the result, which was Dark Eclipse, went a little bit different. Let's have a listen back to the 1980 finish of the Golden Slipper.
The outside struggling. Here comes Dark Eclipse on the outside. Dark Eclipse is going after the leader. Dark Eclipse loomed up with John's Hero and Black Lark of Miss. Dark Eclipse is the leader. Joy is jumping out of the ground, but Dark Eclipse won the slipper. Come on, you Kevin Moses. Dark Eclipse has won.
1980 it was, Neville Begg. You trained Dark Eclipse, but you felt going into that race that you had... Well, you had two in it, and you thought the other one was probably the best of the two. Have I got that right?
Well, Fiance was had won the Silver Slipper, and she was a beautiful filly. And for some reason or other, she didn't race as well in the autumn as she did in the spring.
Yeah.
But she came back and won the Flight Stakes in the spring, and Ron Quinton was loyal to Mr. and Mrs. Tate, and he stuck with Fiance, even though Dark Eclipse had won the Magic Night the week before. And so Kevin Moses rode her and rode very well and won.
It certainly did. Very strong, wasn't it? Came off, had a nice run and got through. Did Dark Eclipse honestly surprise you to win that year?
Oh, look, she'd won the Magic Night the week before, but we didn't think she was quite the top, you know.
Yep.
Fiance had always been, she'd won the Jim Crack and the Silver Slipper and looked pretty dominant, yep. You know, but as I said, she wasn't as good in the autumn as she was in the spring.
Understand. So that was 1980. Then you need a good horse to keep going, and you couldn't have imagined that a horse was going to come into your stable called Emancipation and just give you so much, Neville.
Well, she's a plain little thing. She came from out in the bush in Dubbo, and Les Young had selected her and found her out there and leased her for Mr. Bob LaPointe and some of his partners. And, you know, she was, as I said, a plain little thing. Didn't run as a two-year-old, but won first up as a three-year-old. I think she probably won the first five starts.
Yeah. She ended up winning 19 of a 28. And, I mean, she won the Ryder, the Doncaster, the George Main, the Rosemont Classic, as it was known then, over the mile, George Ryder, the All Age. They were just the group ones, and she won a string of others. We hear often that jockeys and horses click. Was that a case with Emancipation and Ron Quinton, Nev?
Yeah, Ron got on very well with her. It was only one day that he couldn't ride her because he stayed in Sydney to ride Dalmatia, who won the Epsom on that day.
Yep.
And I sent Kevin Moses to Melbourne to... He rode her in the Edward Manapole, which he won. But that was the only time that Ron didn't ride her.
And that was back in 1982. Like a similar question that I've asked, did she show you initially that she was going to be pretty good?
Well, she was a very temperamental filly, you know. She was always a bit of a lass, you know. She'd kick the walls and bite you and do every different thing.
Geez, you've trained some good horses, Nev.
Yeah, well, Graham looked after her all his life, and she battered him a bit when he was looking after her. But she turned out, as I said, she always showed some promise, you know. But she won first up on Bank Holiday Day in August, and she went on from there.
She was an absolute star, and she was the champion racehorse back in 1984, which is at the end of that racing season. She went to stud, and is she the fondest horse of yours, Neville?
Oh, look, she was certainly the star of the stable. We had some very, very good fillies. You know, I had a filly like November Rain. She won the Three Oaks and the St. Ledger and the Wakeful. I had a beautiful mare, filly called Capilaran for Mr. Kwonko.
Yep.
And she won the Peter Pan, the Gloaming, the Thousand Guineas. She was a beautiful filly, you know.
Understand. Yeah. How was it back in that time as a trainer when you were taking on Tommy Smith in most of these big feature races?
Well, Tommy was always very, very competitive, you know, and his horses were always hard to beat. They were hard and fit. I was probably considered a bit of a soft trainer, Tommy's was always rock hard and fit. They were always hard to beat.
Yeah, for sure. You love your racing, and you always get to the sales still. I see you there with Graham and looking around it. You've always been active since retirement with that sort of style, with, you know, buying into horses and things like that?
Andrew, I think you've got to keep an interest. I've got a couple of brood mares. I breed a few. I've got two or three yearlings this year to be broken in, and although I'm 85, I'm looking to the future.
I'm glad you mentioned the age, because I was uncomfortable in asking how old you were. But I tell you something, you're a good 85.
Thanks, Andrew.
You are very active. You get out there. Well, now, what about, I know this is about you, but I want to move it on to your son, Graham. What about this moving down to Victoria?
Yes, no, he's going south of the border. So, look, I'm sure he'll be successful wherever he goes. He's done extremely well in Sydney. He's had a break for about a year, and he's freshened up, and I'm sure he'll start off well.
Yeah, it's a different game these days, isn't it, Neville? We love it, but it is a 24/7 game that sometimes everyone does need that break, and we're hearing probably a bit more of it now, where trainers just can't keep it up.
Well, it's a 7-day-a-week job, Andrew. Even the night times now. That's why I was fortunate enough when I went to Hong Kong, they only raced twice a week, and it was a, you know, very, very comfortable lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Neville, congratulations. There'll be many people listening to us that have followed you along the way. We congratulate you in being inducted into the Australian Racing Hall of Fame with the likes of Pat Hyland, and there's horses, and Les Carline, the racing journalist. I think it's going to be a special time in Adelaide over the next few days.
Yeah, very, very humbled to be in their company, Andrew. So I just hope everything goes well.
Good on you, Neville. We appreciate it, and congratulations again from everyone that's listening to us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much.
Good on you. Neville Begg joining us there, officially to be inducted into the Australian Racing Hall of Fame in the next couple of days in Adelaide, and we certainly congratulate him.